Hi everyone, welcome back to A Cup of Cozy. My name is Oriana.
And I'm Wanda.
This is going to be a bit of a continuation from something that we talked about in a real talk last night. I almost said, oh my god, my octopus fell over, but that sounds horrendous when you don't see that I have an actual little stuffed octopus on my desk. But I digress. So this is going to be a little continuation from the conversation that we had at our real talk last night about growing, checking in with yourself, and how to, even as we're older, and I mean, obviously everybody here is over the age of 25. Well, here meaning me and you, not here listening. I'm sure there's young people listening. But the older you get, you never want to stop growing and learning. And I do think there are people, especially when you're young, I think when you hit that 18 mark, I think you start thinking, well, I know everything. You are still so much a child at 17 years old. I'm not even sure really what would make you think that you wouldn't be a child at 18.
I think what's funny, though, is you can take the most brilliant minds of our century, of every century. They never knew everything. And you will often find people that have intelligence, high IQs, don't know themselves because they dwell in a realm of intelligence. They dwell in a realm of education and knowledge, never taking the time to often delve into the knowledge of ourselves, the realm of knowing everything there is to know about you. And I believe if you live to be 10,000, you will never learn everything you need to know about you. But I think that by checking in with yourself every day and accepting that you must learn and grow in every aspect of your life, you are headed towards a good path of knowing a good percentage of yourself.
And I think that's, like you said, you're running into a lot today because you have a lot of people, and I don't want to sound like that person that now because I am older is like, well, you know, when you're younger, I'm not that person. But you do see a lot of people, the younger that they are, they feel that they got it. You don't got it. Because there's going to be one adult-like trauma that's going to come across your lap, and you're going to be like, oh boy.
Right.
Don't have this at all. So we're going to talk about some of the ways that we continue to stay open. We continue to grow. You made a really good point before out in the kitchen when you were talking about, you know, a parent to child sort of dynamic. And again, I don't refer to myself as a child in age. I refer to it as because I am her literal child. Like, she did birth me.
And I think as we talked about, and I'll touch on the thing that I said in the kitchen, you have to realize that adulting is not fun. No one ever said, hey, once you become adult, it's grand because you get to do so much. With greater things you get to do come greater problems. With more responsibility, you get to do more things on your own, but you also get to handle more things on your own you may not want to handle on your own that you didn't have to before. You know, and there is the old joke is I'm not ready to be an adult. And when you scream for that person, like, where's an adult here? And you realize you are that adult. So those are not memes or euphemisms that come lightly. Those are real things that someday you stand up and you go, holy crap, I'm the adult and I have to handle it.
And I mean, there's lots of things that can get you to that point. It doesn't necessarily come with just age. There's just general life experience that makes you more equipped to be an adult. We spoke about last night how, talking about my grandma getting sick, and because yesterday was her birthday, I was 26 when my grandma got sick, and I was 27 when she passed away, because she got sick in August, passed away in March. And that's as much of an adult as you can get. But through that experience, it brought me different levels of maturity, different things that were put into perspective because you were faced with something. You know, it's one thing to talk about something and to think about how you will react. But when you're faced with a situation and, you know, my grandma getting sick came out of nowhere, you are forced to be able to deal with something that was not in your wheelhouse. And I know that there's people that experience those types of things way younger. You know, whether it be teen pregnancy, maybe coming from, you know, a home life that's not so good.
Right.
Different things form you into being an adult at different ages. So I don't think that adult is just categorized by an age. I think it's categorized by your responsibility level, how you handle things, how you speak to people. Because there are ways that even now, as a 31-year-old, that I will sometimes have a bad day or have a bad mood, and how I speak to people, and that's not very adult. So what we have to do is realize everything is relevant and everything will help you to sort of become a person that is always open to being better than what you were or are or want to be. But the first thing you have to do is you have to say, I want to be open. I choose to accept criticism, conversation, questioning, and all of that that goes with it.
You have to say, I choose to know me on every level. I choose to accept the good parts of me along with the bad parts of me. I choose that some things I will be able to change and learn more and go forward with. And I also choose to know there are some things I cannot change and will not change, no matter how hard I want to.
And I think that's...
And that's not being defeated.
No.
You have to recognize there are some things about your personality
you can't change.
You will not be able to change.
And you need to be very realistic about those things, because through my growth and my situation and through different things that I've been through, I have realized, and I will say to people, this is a part of me that's me. And you'll know what those things are. But at the same time, you can't also say, well, every part of me is me. Because, well, yes, that is true. There are some things that you can modify.
Right.
I've done it. She's done it. And there are some things that you can't. I will talk about something for me that is a not modifiable thing. She can talk about something for her. And maybe that will also give you some sort of headspace to be like, okay, these are possibly, if I have these traits, they are not changeable. For me, I will always be somewhat, I have sort of a yippy personality.
Chihuahua.
Yeah. My first instinct is to always be like, bah! Like I'm like very yippy.
She's ready to fire off.
All the time. And it's not always defensive. It's just always ready to go. Sort of ready to engage with a conversation Yes. I am, you know. Whether it's ready to go with a conversation, ready to go with an argument, ready to go with just general information. That's part of me, and that's something that's not going to change. I can change if I am aggressive in my sort of yippiness. I can change if I'm sort of closed off. But it's something about me, my just reactive nature is sort of an unchangeable thing.
One of the things that is not, I'm not even going to say is hard for me to change. It's virtually impossible and won't happen. And that is my skepticism, my inability to trust things.
I was so glad that you said that, because I was like, if she doesn't say it, then I'm going to have to be like, but did you forget about this?
No, I don't. I am neither proud nor upset about it. I believe that growing up in New York City, you are exposed to a lot, as I always say. You are taught to be observant and know what's going on at all times, because it is a very fast-paced, very overloaded a sensory system in New York City. You are overloaded with a lot of noise, a lot of sights, a lot of sound, a lot of taste, a lot of smell.
It's like an overstimulant.
It's a sensory overload.
Right.
So with sensory overload comes the ability to have to find and observe things. And as a person who observes things, I taught myself to be skeptical of things. Am I really seeing what I'm seeing? Am I hearing what I'm hearing? Am I smelling what I'm smelling? And to identify those things. I never take something that's just at face value. And some of you may go, oh my God, that's horrible. It really isn't. Because if you are a trustworthy person, if you are doing the right thing, if you are not trying to scam someone or hurt someone or do something that is less than stellar to someone, you don't have to worry about a person not trusting you. They will see you are trustworthy. But if you're a little on the shady side, I'm going to see through it. And I pride myself on being skeptical. And for some people, like my daughter and like others, it is very hard to navigate because they often feel as though I'm not trusting them. For me, it is not necessarily a trust. It is I need to know more about a situation before I have a comfort level. And that's how I view my skepticism. Others don't see it that way. And I totally understand why they don't.
Right.
But for me, it has always been because of all the things that I was exposed to young, I learned to be on guard. The same way you're on guard and then get yippy, I'm on guard to go, I don't trust
right.
that situation. And I rely so heavily on my gut and intuition where other people do not. So as a result of that, that also in turn has made me a truly skeptical. I prefer to use skeptical as opposed to untrustworthy because I have trust.
Because it is like she said, sometimes it's just knowing a little bit more information. It's not seeing a situation and being like, liar. No, it's just about gathering the utmost information that she can.
You know, and this is something really minor, but I'll give it to you. I meet people often and they go, oh my God, you're from New York. Me too. And right away, I'm always like, oh yeah, where in New York are you from? And they begin to show you why you're skeptical of something like that. They go, oh, well, you know, I live in Brooklyn. Okay, Brooklyn is part of New York. It is not New York City.
But it is completely different.
You know? Or they're like, oh, I'm from Rochester. Right. Well, that's wonderful. That's also New York, but you're not from New York City.
Like, sometimes, people will talk to my mom, she'll talk about growing up in the city, they'll be like, oh, my God, I'm from New York, too. And she's like, what part? And they're like, you know, upstate. Like, but that's a totally different environment. I mean, I grew up in a totally different environment growing up on Long Island, which is just really, like, 40 minutes from the city, but it's a totally different world.
And I lead with, I was born and raised in New York City. Not New York, New York City. I still live in New York.
I think it's funny, too, because I do think there are people that want to sort of capitalize on, like, oh, if I say from New York, people assume the city. I always specify where I was born.
Right. And, you know, that's one of the things that makes me skeptical because people say that often, and I have to draw out of them, you know. So I say things, well, like, what neighborhood? And when they're hesitant to say, oh, you know, the Greenwich area, Hell's Kitchen area, the Upper East Side, the Lower West Side. When they're skeptical of saying that, then I know you didn't grow up in New York City. And not that it matters, just be honest. So that right away gives me a reason to not be trustworthy of you.
So like I said, I hope that gives everybody just like a little insight into, like, those are sort of unchangeable things and personality traits that we have. But as we spoke about last night, when we did talk about this live, and now, like I said, this is sort of a continuation of my sort of growth. The easiest way it is to get through to me when you do see a time when I seem calm and not on guard.
And it isn't always easy to find.
No, it's not. Especially,
sometimes you gotta really go hunting.
Yeah. Sometimes it's a couple of weeks. It's a couple of weeks before you get to that. Oh, she's chill right now. She's not having an emotional breakdown every, you know, 2 seconds.
I think also, like, you wanted me to touch upon what I said in the kitchen. I explained to Oriana that I have learned so much in the past 6 months, and I didn't think that was possible. But I have learned that no matter how much I think that there's a good way to do something, not my way of doing it, but the right way.
There's a general good way.
A good way is to come to terms that I cannot tell Oriana how to do something, and she cannot tell me how to do something. We have to find a way to get to the end line by both of us putting in our input and coming with a compromise. And I have learned in the last couple of months, there is no way for me to tell her, do this. And that should be a guide for everybody. You cannot tell somebody, do this. You have to show them sometimes that there is a better way to do it. And it isn't your way, it's just the better way.
Mm-hmm.
But that comes from compromise. So compromise is a key in
also,
any situation.
As a person too, like myself, you have to say, they're not trying to make me do it their way. They're just trying to get me to show me a right way, a way that might be better than what I was previously doing or thinking or feeling or saying.
And it's really simple. If you've been hacking away at the same problem, the same trauma, the same thing that irritates you every day and doesn't have a solution, it's probably because you're not going about it the right way.
Mm-hmm.
If after a year you still have the same problem, if you're still having the same problem at school, at work, at home, with relationships, with people, chances are you are not going to get a solution until you look at it from another angle and another perspective.
And I think the most important thing that you do, and like I learned about the checking in with myself through my mom, because sometimes she would have a conversation with me, you know, the next day or a couple of days after there was maybe an argument. And she would say, you know, last night or the other night, I checked in with myself. And I thought, you know, that's a very admirable thing, because I do think a lot of people are like, well, I'm 40, I'm 50. I don't
or
need
their
to.
Title. I'm right. A mother. I'm the father. Mm-hmm. I'm your boyfriend. I'm your husband. Title and age is nothing to do with it.
You were never above learning about yourself and trying to help yourself. And through helping yourself, you help others. So through her doing these sort of check-ins, I started doing them with myself and have been more able recently to articulate sometimes why I feel frustrated, which in turn makes me angry, makes me quick to sort of snap. And I think it gives her and those around me a way easier time to sort of understand me and where I'm coming from. But it also gives me room to grow and say, hey, you know what? I don't like how I handled that situation. Because there's plenty of things I do say and feel that almost immediately I'm like, you know what, Ariana? Like, that's not good. But and you can never be above it either, admitting it.
Unfortunately, that happens, and it is myself too. I have done it, where you're in the middle of it and you're arguing and you're like, you know what? I'm not being my best self here and I know it, but you're too in it to not continue with it.
And then you know there's always a time when one person will be like, all right, I'm done. And the other person's like, no, we're not done.
Right.
And we've both done
exactly,
that. So
we've both done it. But I think what you always have to say is whatever time you get the revelation, whether it's in the middle of the argument, after the argument, 2 days later, a month later, you have to come back and atone. You have to come back and say, you know what? That was tense. I wasn't right either. You will never see someone's other perspective unless you see your own first. So you have to look at yourself and say, was my perspective the right perspective? In any argument, both perspectives will always have elements of right, but they will also equally always have elements of wrong.
And
you can't argue with one person. It's two people make that argument.
The best thing you can always do, and I was like, for the longest time, I was like, listen, like we can, especially me and my mom, we can do so many things together. Why are certain things difficult? And I realized because we handle them differently than we handle the situations that we work so well with each other in, like this podcast. The more that things are sort of a collaboration, both sides feel seen, both sides feel heard, and both sides feel validated. And everybody wants to be validated. And sometimes validating somebody doesn't mean you're letting go of what you think or what you feel. It's just saying, hey, you know what? You make a good point, and I understand. Sometimes just hearing, you know, from my perspective, sometimes someone just saying to me, hey, you know what, Ariana? I understand why you're so upset. I understand why you're angry at me. I understand why you're frustrated. It means a lot. And that can change my whole demeanor in a situation.
And before you get to that point, listen to what you're saying and how you're saying it. Because she just told you she has a yippy personality. If I say, Ariana, is that really what should be happening? And she comes back with, what do you mean? Of course it's the way it should be handled. Right away, my guard is going to come up. And that is going to become an argument rather than a discussion. So when you're going to present something to someone or ask somebody something, pay very close attention to how you're asking it and how they're answering it. Because it is the difference between a discussion and an argument.
Just a little while ago, recently, if you guys are new here, we're always buying things. We've gone through the entire pandemic, having a really hard time getting things, the kitchen renovation, fucking appliances, furniture, you name it. And there were times, especially because I'm the one I sort of take over to do like the ordering of, you know, anything, presents, things we want, things we don't want, whatever. It tends to sometimes bring up little arguments between me and my mom because she will ask me, like, so when is this coming? And why didn't we get this? And that, and just a little while ago, we had, like, a nice discussion. I said to her, oh, I just got an email that something from blah, blah, blah shipped. And then she said, oh, do you know about this? And I said, yeah, I know this, this, and this. And then she said, could you check on this? And
but
I said,
but it's a good day. If it's not a good day, and I say to her, so when is this coming? The yip comes out.
Right.
And when the yip comes out, I do the reverse. I get, like, fine. I don't care. Never mind. Sorry I asked you. I shut down, she gets yippier. I shut down more, she gets yippier.
And what has to happen is both people have to make that conscious effort. I have to make it to not get yippy. She has to make it to not shut down. And then things go a lot better.
And I want people to understand, because we realize that now, and today we're talking about it, does not mean we'll realize that an hour from now. Because an hour from now, this conversation will mean nothing, and we can go right back into that same pattern. Because that's life, that's days, that's people.
And you do have to hold yourself, though, somewhat accountable to not always resorting back to and being like, well, you know, it's normal to resort back to. Because you know what? Sometimes you have right. to be like, no, I have to be better. I have to be stronger. And I have to not resort to this behavior because it doesn't serve me. I have found recently so many types of behaviors don't serve me and those around me that I needed to take a big step back and take some time, whether it's at night or when I'm just kind of in my own head, and say, you know what? Like, this is not helpful. This is not beneficial to a situation, to a person, to a place, to a thing, any of it.
And I want everyone to know, because I often come from this realm, whenever you come at someone accusatory, it's going to turn right back to you accusatory. And if I see the slightest part of Oriana where she feels as though I'm attacking her, or, and I'm talking about verbally.
Sometimes she bites me. Right.
Sometimes I turn into those, you know, Mike Tyson, and I do bite. But in general, no one is going to act well if you start off with an accusatory tone. So that's why I tell you several times, please pay attention to how you're going to approach a conversation.
Tone is so important.
And it will take a difference between a discussion and an argument. I think another important aspect of this situation is to realize that at some point, no matter how important and how driven and how much you know in your heart, soul, body, and every vein of your being that this is a better way to do something, that it's the right way to do it, you have to be careful on how you convince someone of that. Because they may not see it that way. They may never see it that way. And I urge you not to give up trying. Because obviously I hung on for 12 years to try to get to Oriana. And there's still some things she doesn't get.
No.
And there's still some things I'm trying to make her understand or help her to understand. But it, as I told you, you can't give up. You've got to keep trying to get to a better place. That does not mean, however, you should become a doormat to someone and just take their nonsense.
Right.
Because you want to stick it out. You also have to know when to walk away. When to say, you know what? Maybe we truly cannot see eye to eye on this subject or any subject, which is what I guess happens a lot of the time in divorce. Mm-hmm. You realize no matter how much we love each other or care about each other, we cannot forcibly live together.
Right.
So it's, you know, through all the therapy and the pouring out and the checking in and the affirmation, you gotta go. For both people's
right.
sanity.
And there should always be room where both people are giving. Not everybody is always going to give equally. That goes without saying. That's almost impossible. So don't come for me for that. But everybody has to be willing to want to make change, because even though you think sometimes change only affects you and your personality, change affects all of those around you. If there is less arguing between two people, it makes for a better environment. It makes for better conversations. It makes for better growth.
And in any relationship, whether it is a child to a parent, a spouse to another spouse, a sister to a brother, a child to child, you have to come to terms with the fact that if we dwell with another person, we cannot dwell solely as though we're singly living. You must always consider that any relationship you have with someone is and should be an equal partnership. You cannot be sedentary, solitary, do your own thing when someone else lives with you and dwells in your space. No matter how ideal that seems, you have to remember, and that was one of the first things that was really difficult for me when I got married, because I was pretty much a solitary person. Although I lived with my parents for some time, I still did my own thing, had my own place, lived my own life, did what I wanted to do. And when you are suddenly not, I don't want to say forced, but you are cohabitating with another person, you have to come to terms, even if they don't live with you, but they're in your life. You have to realize you can't just say, well, this is the way I want to live my life. Because now you're not just living your life solitary. You are living your life within someone else's life.
The greatest thing you can do is have conversations with those around you that you are going to live with and say, hey, you know what? While we both have this place together and we live together and
or
we
even if you don't live together, spend, you're just in a relationship
right, or if
together.
We want to spend time together, we need to allot time that we have our own alone time, that we have our own time to pick what meals we want to eat or what we want to watch. Sort of pre-set up those compromises so when the situation actually approaches itself, it's not this big power struggle of, well, who's going to get their way? And I think that was another thing that going through the pandemic and why I think a lot of people broke up because of the pandemic or struggle with their marriages or relationships because of the pandemic is because you were forced and there was no sort of preset, like, okay, every day, you know, between 4 and 5, I like to sit in the bathtub and read a book. No one knew certain things about each other. So you do have to ahead of time say, hey, you know what? Yeah, we want to spend X amount of time together, but I like some time during the day when I can just unwind, and maybe when I unwind, you can do this. Or you tell me what you would want to do, and maybe while you go to work or you do whatever your activity is, I'm going to do this. You have to have those discussions. And sometimes it does feel like there's an awful lot of discussions. And sometimes I myself have felt like, oh my God, I have to talk about literally everything and how I want to do this and why I want to do this and
blah, 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 problems.
You do if you want to avoid problems, because I do think, unfortunately, that is what happened with the pandemic. Is nobody ever factored this in and had those conversations?
And that was it. Understand, you simply cannot expect to be successful in a relationship of any kind if you are just going to go, well, this is my life and I get to live it any way I want. That isn't the point. The point is your life now is intersecting with other people's lives.
You also, too, can't say to somebody, well, I want you to stay home more, because they also have a choice to stay home more or go out more. It's compromising those things and having those difficult conversations and checking in and saying sometimes, like, hey, you know what? I'm being really unrealistic or I'm being really selfish.
Right.
You can never be ashamed to own and to know your worst qualities.
And I always look at it as though if you can admit them, they don't seem as bad when someone else tells you about them.
Right.
Because you're like, yeah, I know, I nag. Yeah, I know, I'm messy. Yeah, I know. Those are okay to say that, because then you disarm them and you disarm yourself and things don't seem as terrible.
It makes it easier sometimes for other people to talk to you, because they're like, okay, so she knows that she procrastinates. So if I bring it up, it's not going to hit a sore spot. Because that's what usually happens too, is people don't admit
the
their problems.
Right.
And then someone brings out one of their triggers and then they're totally guarded and armed and you're not going to get through to somebody. Also too, learn, and this took me a long time, learn sometimes that when someone says, you know what, I just don't want to talk about this right now, respect somebody enough to give them that space, because the conversation will go better. When everybody is a willing participant and on the same page, conversations and life and struggles and all of the complexities that we deal with go so much smoother. I've seen it.
Like what she said about when someone says, I don't want to talk about it anymore. Say, okay, that's fine. You tell me when you are ready to approach this subject again. And that's what you should do. Give them the moment, the time, the hour, the day, the 2 weeks, whatever they needed. And just say, just promise me that when you are ready to talk about it, you will come to me and let me know.
Everybody has and deserves boundaries and respect and understanding and validation. So I do think that this is a good way to sort of end. This was a two-part thing. So if you missed our live, you can go back and you can watch it and have a little bit more of an understanding. And I will continue, as I know my mother will, to update you guys more on growth and change and all of that thing. I do not like to, you know, air all types of like insanity of like my personal life on here, but I will certainly in the future be willing to share how my personal life has benefited from certain things and has struggled because of other things. That's all part of my process, to always be evolving into an even better person. And if you can look back you know, 6 months and say, am I a better person? Am I more open? Am I more understanding? Am I easier to communicate with? And people can say yes to at least two of those things. You're doing your job. You're doing what you should be doing as a person. As a person, you should want to change. You should want to grow. And people should want to do that with you and experience that
with
you.
And as a small recap, if you're unaware of what we talk about with checking in with yourself, at night, when I have no distraction, no child, no husband, no dogs, no nothing. It is me alone with my body, my soul, my brain. I go over my day and I say, how did my day go? What went wrong in my day? What went right in my day? What was I the contributor of? Did I contribute positivity today? Did I contribute negative? Did I contribute both? Was there just a regular day and really not much happened? And what can I do tomorrow to not repeat that behavior? And sometimes I will come away with, well, I need to apologize. I need to get clarification on certain points. I need to have a longer conversation, or I need to let go. And all of those are my checkpoints. And that has helped me not recently to sleep better, but it does help you to sleep better because it kind of clears your mind of the things you go to sleep burdened with that you're not even realizing you're going to sleep burdened mm-hmm. with. So that's how I do my check-in, and that's why I suggested to Oriana she do it and anybody else. Those are the easy key points to hit. And when you're all done with that checking in point, you have to say to yourself, okay, tomorrow's another day, and I'm going to start all over again.
And even sometimes having that situation, lots of the times I will say, you know what? If we don't accomplish or get this, and this result tomorrow, we're going to try this. And make little game plans with those around you. It will make things go so much smoother.
And don't waste time. Don't waste time on not addressing the problem and getting it done.
Because it doesn't. I will tell you, it doesn't go
away. On its own.
It doesn't.
You need to keep at it.
You can sometimes make yourself be in a delusion of, oh, it's good. It'll fix itself. Very seldom do things fix themselves. Everything requires nurturing and effort and work.
And look at the end goal. If you fix that one problem, you're ready to tackle the next. If you don't fix the first problem, at the end of your week, you're going to have 20 problems instead of two. And that's just not good for you. And the most important thing to couple with all of this is a healthy mind, a healthy body go right into each other.
Right.
If you feel healthy, if you get the right amount of sleep, which isn't always easy, especially for someone like myself, if you eat better, if you exercise even just a little bit, if you talk, if you keep things lighthearted, if you have activities you enjoy doing, all of those things will add up to helping you solve your problems.
Absolutely. So definitely, if you struggle with certain things and you want to have these types of conversations with people, you know, let them listen to this. As a person who has been closed off so many times, it can happen, it can work out, and you can get to a better place. I promise, a little effort, it will never hurt anybody, and it will make your life a little bit easier in the long run.
I think this is probably going to be a part three.
Yeah, I agree.
Because there's other things we just didn't touch upon that I think are important, but we don't want to bore you, and we don't want to lose you. We want you to absorb, and like you always say, take what we say.
Take it in, sometimes even listen again.
Right.
Absorb the information. Also, please do not breastfeed your cats on airplanes. If you didn't hear that story, go look it up.
Or your kinkajou.
It's really worth it. So yeah, please make sure you subscribe to us wherever you listen to your podcast. We post new episodes all the time. There will definitely be a part three on this, and I will let everyone know when that happens. So until next time, everybody.
Check in with yourself. You will do yourself the greatest service and those around you. And most of all, you're in your bed usually. You can stay cozy.